Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Today's episode is thanks to our Patreon members and our affiliates and partners. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to join our membership or donate to the podcast, and stay tuned to hear about some amazing deals and discounts from our partners, including Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, and Jen and Carrie. But for now, we're getting right to the show. Enjoy. Hello, hello. Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez here, your host of this podcast and owner and sports dietitian of Rise Up Nutrition, where we help female athletes use food as fuel to perform at their highest level. I have a guest here with me today. I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. It's with Claudia Hanna. She is the creator and host of If This Food Could Talk, a history show for everyone who eats, food history show currently in development with APT Podcast Studios. She earned a Bachelor of Arts in Economics and Foreign Affairs from the University of Virginia and MBA in Corporate Finance from Emory University. Claudia was a management consultant and finance professional for years before slipping off the power suits and donning flip-flops and beach sarongs for a simpler, healthier life in Cyprus. She now writes her own blog, Live Like a Goddess, is a lifestyle writer for Mind Body Green, Seville Weekly, Women Who Live on Rocks, Expats.com, and Sivana Spirit. A serial entrepreneur, Claudia founded Athena's Bump, a maternal nutrition company focusing on customized nutrition for the four stages of pregnancy, from preconception through postpartum. The smart app was designed for the femtech market and focused on providing education, resources, and delivered foods to expecting families. Athena's Bump has secured nearly $2 million in early funding. Claudia was taught to cook by her two Mediterranean mothers, her own Egyptian and Greek mom, Camelia, and her Cypriot mother-in-law, Tulin. She has taken her love for authentic Mediterranean cooking to the classroom, where she teaches Eat Like a Greek cooking classes at the University of Virginia and James Madison University, where she is faculty. Claudia teaches people ages 5 to 80 plus in a simple, comprehensive, and easy to follow steps for developing a healthy palate using natural, local, and sustainable products. Claudia loves leading culinary and cultural tours to Cyprus, Turkey, and Greece, where she enjoys sharing the warm culture and foods of these ancient lands. Quadrilingual in Arabic, Greek, Turkish, and English, Claudia loves sharing food history, language, culture, and leans on her expertise, contacts across the globe for a truly authentic experience to her guests, listeners. I really enjoyed this conversation with Claudia. I hope you do as well. Well, Claudia, thank you so much for being willing to join us on this podcast. I'm just so excited to meet you and talk to you.
Thank you, Lindsay, for having me. No, it's great.
Yeah. So one of like the really interesting things about you and what I just read in your bio is just kind of how I think just like your own family background, your ethnic background, and then you've lived in Cyprus. You still spend a lot of the year in Cyprus. It just sounds like such a beautiful place. So can you just share a little bit about like kind of your background and what led you to, you know, splitting your time and your life between the US and Cyprus?
Yeah, like I'm nodding my head a lot here, and I know no one out there can see it, but I really lucked out, I think. And then we decided to carve our own life. So I'll start you from the very beginning.
Yeah.
When I was in college at the University of Virginia, I had a summer internship that led me to Cyprus. Mm. I went to go work there at an import-export firm for literally just 2 months of my life. And this is a while ago. And while I was there, you know, you make friends with locals. It's a former British colony, so everybody speaks English, but they speak Queen's English. And then they were like, wait, there's an American who kind of looks like us, because I am of Egyptian and Greek descent. So I was born in New York, but I'm definitely, I look very Mediterranean, I guess I should say. I look Middle Eastern Mediterranean. But anyway, so they were like, why is this woman like here, but she speaks English, but an American English, and who is she, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like a college kid. And anyway, I ended up making friends with some locals, and they introduced me to a guy. It always comes down to a guy. I mean, seriously, it always does. And he was a Fulbright scholar. So okay. Tony was a Fulbright scholar. He was coming to the United States for his master's degree. And I was like, well, call me when you get here. And he did. And so we've been together. We just celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. And so, yeah, so what we decided to do. So then I finished college. I went to grad school. So did my husband, as I said, PhD. And then with two little babies in tow, Ella at the time was 2 and Benjamin was 4 months old, we moved to Cyprus. I hated my corporate finance job. And my husband's like, do you want to move? And in my little brain, my little like postpartum brain, I'm here thinking I'm going to be breastfeeding naked on some beach in the Mediterranean. Like I was thinking that, but it's so not like that. You can, of course, but that wasn't exactly what I did. Yeah. And not daily at least. And so we went and we moved back to Cyprus for what was supposed to be just a couple of years. And then it ended up being 10 years of living on the island, and we would spend our summers back in the States in Virginia, where I'm from. And then about 7 years ago, we moved back to Virginia full time, and we still spend our summers in Cyprus. So we have my kids, and then we have a third child now. And we go back and forth. We spend a good portion of our time, certainly our summers, on the island. My husband still has business out there. And I've been lucky. I decided to teach Mediterranean cooking classes, like an authentic, what's the Mediterranean lifestyle?
Yeah.
How to incorporate it here in the West. And so I write and I speak about it. And then I teach at a couple of universities. I'm faculty at James Madison and the University of Virginia. And so I teach at these universities, like how to adopt an authentic Mediterranean diet as well as lifestyle to the best of my ability. I share that. But here, and then I get to take people to Cyprus, Greece, Turkey, Lebanon. Like I take them all across the Mediterranean because I speak a few languages. I speak Arabic, Greek, and Turkish. And so I lead them through culinary tours.
Wow.
So I get to go back. It's my way. It's like my little secret power that I've discovered. People want to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just not sure exactly where to start. So I get to leave my kids and travel with fun people who like to eat overseas try to eat with locals and little caves, houses, and picking olives and grapes and all that kind of stuff and turning them into wine and olive oil. And
okay, well, I'm gonna need to talk to you offline about how I can sign up for one of these trips.
It's fun.
For me, somebody who enjoys and loves food, like that just sounds like a dream vacation. Like one of my favorite parts about traveling is diving into the local cuisine and the flavors and the food and the history behind it. And that's exactly what you're doing with people.
Totally, that is exactly what I do. And I love it. It's like such a happy job, quite truthfully.
Oh yeah.
So I really lucked out. And now I get to share it, of course, a little bit broader with the podcast, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yes, we will. The podcast and teaching at a university setting as well. Going back to kind of your personal background a little bit, being Egyptian and Greek, growing up in New York City, right?
No. I was born in Long Island, but then I grew up in a small town in Virginia, in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because I was going to say that's very, you know, so much culture there. In the city,
not much culture, but tiny little.
Let's be real. But I guess, like, prior to moving to Cyprus and taking that college opportunity, did your Egyptian and Greek background give you much like culinary experience of the Mediterranean style diet, like from your family as well?
Of course. That's how I always talk about how I have two Mediterranean moms: my mother, who is of Egyptian descent and part Greek grandma. Mm-hmm. And then my mother-in-law, she's Cypriot. So yeah, I've absolutely have been eating this way for my whole life.
So part of your family, part of your culture. And then I love that story of just jumping on that opportunity in college to go there, because there are so many opportunities. I have a lot of college age listeners of this podcast, and there are so many opportunities to just explore. You know, that's a time in your life where you can kind of say yes to things without as many responsibilities holding you back. And that's kind of what your story was. And then it led to, you know, really, you know, what you do as far as career wise, and then also, you know, building your family and meeting your husband there as well.
So. I get to lead Maymesters through my universities. I take them overseas, take students overseas. And you say yes, guys.
Say yes.
Like, whoever's listening out there, say yes. Try new things. Don't be scared. You'll always land on your feet. You'll be fine. Just go try new things. You don't know what path that will take. Had I not, I think it was Kismet that I did this trip. I was actually holding out for a job in Milan that never came through.
Wow.
And I was meant, I believe, to end up in Cyprus, and then, you know, fast forward all these years.
Yeah.
But I said yes.
Yeah. You said yes. Yeah. You took that opportunity. Amazing. So already in your talking, you mentioned the word Mediterranean diet, or phrase, I should say, Mediterranean diet, as well as Mediterranean lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I would love to, I guess, two questions here. What is the Mediterranean diet? And then how does that differ, or what's different between Mediterranean diet versus Mediterranean lifestyle? Or how are they similar?
Yeah, the way this all began is many of my friends would ask me, Claudia, you know, you moved to the Mediterranean at age 30. Like, it sounds like you've retired. And I'm like, no, it's not. But like, it's the lifestyle that I really appreciate. So I wrote a blog. I started with this blog called Live Like a Goddess that's still out there. And it's focused on the five pillars of Mediterranean living. And one of my five pillars, the main one that gets the most attention, to be honest with you, Lindsay, is the authentic Mediterranean diet. So I'll kind of talk to you about that a little bit. It's the focus on family and community. It's the focus on faith and spirituality, which everyone hates to talk about in the West, but it doesn't have to be an ugly word. It's just a matter of like believing that there's something bigger than you, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't control everything as much as we do want to control. I'm a control freak, but you might not be able to. It is better career choices for women at a younger age. That's really important for me to talk about, for women to understand their career options and how to advocate for themselves. And then the final one, and this is just kind of fun, tongue in cheek, it's beauty tips and tricks passed on from grandmother to mother to daughter. So it's like yogurt on your face and lemon juice on your elbows. And like, those are the fun parts of the Mediterranean that I do. So those together make up the lifestyle. But the Mediterranean diet is the one that gets most attention, especially here in the West, right?
It does. But why do you think that is from the West?
I think it's because there's been a lot of scientific evidence that shows the longevity of people living with less medications and less health complications the older we age. So you have a lot of cardiologists telling their patients, you know, you try to adopt the Mediterranean diet. It's, you know, more plant-based, in all fairness. It is a lot. Their meat is eaten. We definitely eat our fish and, you know, our meat, animal proteins, but it's in greater context, we eat our vegetables. And that's kind of one of those things. I joke, and it's a terrible joke, but I'm like, make vegetables great again should be my slogan.
I love it.
Like, well, nobody else does, but, you know, my kids are like rolling their eyes. But anyway, it's good heart health, and it is, you know, everybody wants to lose those 5 extra pounds or whatever, and they hear that the Mediterranean diet's good for you. So that's kind of why it probably gets more attention.
Yeah. But I really appreciate that, you know, and I went on your blog and website and saw those other pillars, and I really appreciate that, because I think if we are going to think about the fact that, observationally, people from the Mediterranean have less health complications, live longer, happier lives, can't be just diet. And I think looking at those other pillars is so important. And so if you are somebody who, oh, my doctor recommended Mediterranean diet, maybe we also need to look at, you know, where we're investing energy in other areas of our life, because health really is holistic, right? Diet's absolutely one piece of it.
Sure.
And maybe, you know, focusing on a few more vegetables is absolutely going to help you, but also investing in family and taking care of your skin and finding ways to deal with stress or have faith is, you know, also going to help your health. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So I really think it's that Mediterranean lifestyle and the diet is part of it.
Thank you for hearing that, Lindsay, honest to God, because that is something that's really been important to me. And I think we talked a bit offline about how you have a lot of younger listeners out there. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to reach those young, you know, listeners as they're starting to forge their life. Mm-hmm. About choices that they can make, daily choices, you know, over time, small choices that helps them create a beautiful life that makes them healthy and centered.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of paused you when you said like, oh, the West, aka America, and right, is right, so focused on the diet. And I kind of paused you to be like, why is that? Because we are so diet obsessed.
It's like a transaction. It's not supposed to be transactional. It's a lifestyle. It's like, enjoy your meal with your family, but take the time to make it. Take the time to learn how to cook. I hate to say that, but it's important to me.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. So I love that. So diving, even though I'm like, it is a lifestyle, but I do want to dive into the nutrition stuff.
I know it sucks, but yes, it's true. It's part of it, though.
It is, though. So let's dive into some of the nutrition stuff, just kind of like, you know, an overarching rundown in your experiences. What are some of the health benefits of the Mediterranean diet? Or perhaps like, what are some of the key foods that you think are really powerful and can help people reduce their medications, live longer, things like that?
Sure. So I always think about what are the five staples in my kitchen at all times. And kind of that's where I start. And olive oil is the very first fat that is in my house. And I think is the staple of the whole Mediterranean region. That's where the olive trees originate. And I actually have a whole episode on the history of the olive tree and where it came from and how many thousands of years old it is and the ancient uses of olive oil. But so olive oil is probably my first and foremost go-to. Garlic and onions. Those are crazy, but they can just be the base and the flavor for a lot of your foods.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's so much flavor in garlic and onions, cooked, raw, and those are, I think, one of those really, like, there's so many health benefits to them, and it's minuscule, right? But it's like, oh, an onion isn't adding many macronutrients to my diet. It's not adding many calories. Like, that's not the point. It's the fact that there's these, like, prebiotics in there.
Absolutely.
You know, these like compounds, like it's not even necessarily vitamin and mineral. It's just like these other compounds that provide health benefits, anti-cancer properties.
And it's really interesting. Exactly. And did you know that the best way to get, so the once, especially garlic now, because it does have a lot of antioxidant properties in it, it's supposed to be good for your heart again, but the best way to get it in and have those enzymes just be at the high, like, the antioxidant properties to be at the fullest level is getting them raw in your body.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So how do you get raw garlic without chewing on it? Like a, you know, like, cause nobody wants to like, nobody does even in the Mediterranean. So I really am like, guys, think about it. I take raw garlic and I'll shave it and I'll add it to my tzatziki or I'll add it to my hummus or I'll add it to a salad dressing. The lettuce in a salad, the greens in a salad will actually kind of like break down that, like the garlic, but the so it doesn't make it stink in your mouth as much. But it's trying to find ways, or I'll add it to a little bit of olive oil in a bowl and I'll dip my bread, my fresh bread in that. So it's finding different ways to get fresh garlic. Of course, once cooked, it still tastes delicious.
Yes.
But trying to find different ways to add it to your diet in its fresh form is super important.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level.
The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the fast track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy.
So I love that tip. I think making homemade hummus has been my go-to with it.
So easy.
So easy. Also on your website, I think you have I haven't tried it yet, but I flagged it. I saved it to my desktop favorites, like a tahini dressing recipe. Yeah. And that uses raw garlic as well, right?
Totally. Citrus tahini.
So I'm going to try that one. Mm-hmm. That one looked really good.
Use cruciferous vegetables with that one. Like think of thicker vegetables like shaved Brussels sprouts or even some cauliflower. Think of thicker because it's a heavier salad dressing. So you want a heavier vegetable to complement it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't make tons of sense. And I never thought of that from a cooking culinary experience.
Oh, yeah. Like for like, girls.
Yeah. I love that tip. And I love, like you said, too, just like taking a clove of garlic and just using, you know, what is the name of it now? Shredder?
Not shredder.
Yeah, like a grater.
Grater. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, using a grater to just add that on top of dishes. So amazing. Really funny, terrible story I'm going to interject with.
Go for it.
One time at a restaurant, a whole piece of garlic that was uncooked. I'm wondering if it was supposed to be cooked and the chef messed up or something. But I thought that it was a chunk of blue cheese and I love blue cheese. So I put the whole thing in my mouth and like the rest of the day, it was just like, I was just shoving toothpaste in my mouth. I think I took I was over 21. I think I took a shot of some like awful.
Did it burn
alcohol.
Your mouth?
Try
Did it burn your stomach? That like raw garlic?
I don't think it burned my stomach, but my breath, that was bad.
So I read, and I have no idea if this is true or not, so we could both try it out, that if you eat lettuce, supposedly lettuce will counterbalance the
– almost like absorb the flavor
of your mouth. Yeah, maybe. I know that we do dairy. We do a lot of yogurt with garlic.
Yes. Yeah, milk.
I know that that's – yes, dairy-based like that. I know that that's what we do. But someone told me lettuce or I read it somewhere.
We'll try all that because, again, yes, as you were going through your five foods, olive oil, garlic, onion, and garlic is so good, but getting it raw is difficult. And then we always say like, you know, we're covering our mouth when we're talking to people. So maybe try lettuce, try the dairy to cut that and just know it, even just small amounts is helpful.
Totally.
Doing it regularly. Like you said, it's like, it's a staple in your house.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and lemon too. Lemon's a staple in my house.
Lemon. Yeah.
I always use lemon for everything. That's how I marinate my foods, marinate my meats. That's how I make a salad dressing. Mm-hmm. I never throw away the end of if I cut half of a lemon and I like squeeze it into a salad or onto a marinade for my chicken or my meat, you know, a kebab or whatever, I'll then take it and then put it on my elbow.
Oh, wow.
the little acidity of the lemon is breaking down your dead skin. On your elbows and on your heel of your foot and knees. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Try it out.
Really interesting. That's another one of your pillars, right? The beauty piece.
Yeah, I know. But we just don't throw anything away also in the bed, which I love getting to use. We call it upcycling now, but it's just common sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't heard that term yet. Upcycling. I like it. Yeah. So any other staple foods that you think kind of define or super important of the Mediterranean diet and really bring those added health benefits? Olive oil, garlic, onion, lemon.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything. We always have. So it's hard to say arugula or spinach is one. We always have a green rotating throughout the season. So there's always, yeah, it's hard to choose that one last one, a cucumber, a tomato, some arugula, or like, is it fish? We do eat a lot of fish, I have to say. Get comfortable with fish, girls. Even, you know, even in the tinned form, we're eating, like, we'll find different ways to get fish in our bodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that I actually had a conversation with, I have a couple of different programs, clients that I work with in our alumni program. We were talking about like different cooking techniques. And I think I did discover a lot of people are somewhat uncomfortable cooking fish, maybe because it's more delicate, maybe because raw, it's a little off-putting for some people. Do you have any cooking tips or like ways to start for a novice? Like, what's kind of the easiest way to cook fish if you're a novice?
Well, I guess it would depend on the type of fish. Totally. So let's start with shrimp is so easy.
Yeah.
Shrimp is so easy. So you can get the peeled or non-peeled, okay? And it takes seconds for shrimp to be cooked. Literally just 5 minutes or under. So I always start with some olive oil in a pan, and I bring it and I shred my garlic.
Yeah.
Okay. And I never scorch my garlic. I always start the olive oil on a medium heat, and I add my cold, fresh garlic right at that point. So it slowly infuses. I'll then add a few shakes of chili pepper because I love red hot chili peppers, but I love the little chili peppers. You know, that stuff that you add on top of
pizza. Yes. Right. Yep.
And then I'll let the oil infuse slowly with the garlic and the heat of the peppers. And then I'll throw a rinsed shrimp right over top of that. And I'll give it a couple shakes. If I want, I can add a little bit of salt at that point or a couple drops of soy sauce. Just make sure it turns into a light pink color. And I throw that over top of some pasta, or I'll just eat that on the side with a little bit of bread, or kind of on its own, quite truthfully.
I
think that's an easy one to start with.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to try it this weekend. Sounds easy, sounds delicious, and it's a good place to start.
Yeah. You could also start getting a little playful. Once you get comfortable with that, you got your garlic, you got your peppers, then I throw some Kalamata olives in there. I kind of like burn my Kalamatas into the olive oil. Then I'll add the shrimp. Everything will be done in 5 minutes or under. And then there you go. Put it over top of that. Yeah.
It's amazing. Good. And this is why you're so good at teaching cooking to people. You have so many ideas. So I want to ask you one more kind of cooking focused question while I've got you, and then we'll move on. But as you were talking about, you know, cooking in the olive oil and kind of medium heat, there's a lot of discussion about the anti-inflammatory properties of olive oil and the omega-3s, but that you're not supposed to cook it at high heat. Do you have any tips from both the cooking and the health perspective on how to get the most out of olive oil?
Yeah, this is my sweet spot, Lindsay. I'm so glad you asked it. Okay. Anybody out there listening, do me a favor, go to get your olive oil out of your pantry and look at the bottle. If you are getting a cold pressed olive oil, that's the great stuff. Don't worry about the extra virgin. All cold pressed olive oil is extra virgin. Okay.
Okay.
So you want cold pressed olive oil if you are drizzling on top of a salad, if you're adding to a little bit of ricotta cheese and eating it, if you're adding it to a little dish with garlic and salt or just plain salt and dipping your bread, cold pressed is the good stuff that has the high, it has never seen heat. So what happens is it's never seen heat. And it's really important to remember that. When you go to a press, an olive oil press, and if you ever come with me to Cyprus or any of those places, I'll take you to a press.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah, totally. If you come to a press, you'll see that they are trying to extract as much oil out of that little piece of fruit. The olive is a fruit. It grows on a tree. It has a pit. It is a fruit. And there's a lot of people trying to consume it now. So if they're just trying to make presses get as much oil out of it so they can ship it all across the world, they have to heat up the fruit to kind of like loosen the skin from the flesh of the fruit. Okay. And then they press it. So that's the extra virgin. That's not the cold press stuff. If you're cooking, go ahead and grab the extra virgin olive oil. Grab the virgin.
Because you're heating it up anyways.
You're heating it up anyway. Those antioxidant properties have already been almost not fully destroyed, but have been lessened to a larger extent once from the mill or from the olive press, the oil press. But if you are just eating it fresh, and you're going to add it to a salad, or you're going to make it to your guacamole, or if you're going to be adding it to a hummus or any of those things, go for the cold press stuff. Otherwise, save your money, get the extra virgin, and you're fine cooking it to a high heat. I don't know why people say that. You're totally fine.
Oh, really great to hear that.
But just don't use the cold press stuff on your pan. It's not worth the money. You're killing it.
I love that.
Get it in your body.
Yeah. And I love your comfort in recommending just eating that cold pressed olive oil, dipping your bread in it, adding it to guacamole, like anywhere you can add it, get those healthy fats.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I love it. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how you eat like a local or a local
Mediterranean.
Yes. A local Greek girl. How about that?
Yes. Wonderful. So I want to shift now into talking about your new podcast, because as we're talking to you, and obviously you are a wealth of knowledge about food, cooking, and where it's sourced from, its history.
Yeah.
And so your brand new podcast, If This Food Could Talk, I just love that title. It's so funny too, because when I heard that title, I thought to myself, I must know that podcast. I must have listened to it, because it's just such a good title. It sounds like it should have existed, but this is a brand new podcast, so I hadn't ever listened to it before.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Lindsay.
Yeah, because it just really, If This Food Could Talk, it's like, what would it tell you about its history, where it's from, how it's best cooked, what it tastes best with, all that.
Right.
And oh my gosh, I just couldn't believe when I listened to the very first episode that it was about ice cream, because that is my favorite food. Absolutely.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And the person you interviewed as well had a story about getting ice cream from Cape Cod. And I had just returned from my family vacation in Cape Cod when I listened to that episode. And it is a thing to go out and get ice cream at Cape Cod. So I was just
Cool?
Yeah.
Well, that person is Samantha Brown. Samantha Brown has been a travel. She's got her own television show for the last 25 years where she travels around the world. And it's called like Samantha Brown's Places to Love is her newest show. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with her for a while, kind of like this one, and was like, Samantha, what's the craziest ice cream you've ever eaten? And so not everything got made to the final episode.
Yeah.
We had to do some cuts, as I hate to do, but maybe we'll release the full version of the interview.
Maybe like a bonus episodes. Yeah.
Totally. Because we've got like Jacques Pepin. I don't know if you've heard of Jacques Pepin, but he used to cook for 30 years with Julia Child. He had his own show. He's huge. So we've got a whole, and that episode's coming up. But I get to sit with them for about an hour and like really just kind of pick their brain and like, what do you love to eat? And what do you love? What is the five foods that, you know, Jacques Pepin? But anyway, Samantha was great. She told stories about her childhood. And that's what like she really remembered, you know, what it meant to her to share those ice cream moments with her mom and her sisters and everything. And I just love that. It has us all feeling a little bit more personal. And then, I get to share some of my favorite. So at the end of If This Food Could Talk, every episode, we go back in time with a particular food. The one you listen to is ice cream. We also have the history of pizza out as well.
Yeah.
And that starts from the Persian Empire and goes forward. And then at the end of every episode, I share some foods, like recipes of foods that I love making. So you can, and then we have a website that has the recipes up there, and social media is slowly coming. It's so much work, as you know, Lindsay, but we'll be posting all that so that they can, so people can follow along and learn to make a Persian flatbread or learn to make a vegan rosewater mohallabi. And if you want that for ice cream instead, so mohallabi is like a Middle Eastern kind of like ice cream. I don't know.
Yeah. Fans, I hope you are enjoying the conversation. We are going to take a quick pause so I can tell you about our partners. They are so valuable in providing you with amazing products and helping keep this podcast going. First, Prevenix. Thanks to their incredible Joint Health Plus product, my aches and pains from running and honestly being a new mom, as crazy as that sounds, have literally disappeared. As I continue to push my body physically as an athlete, and frankly, as I continue to age, I was shocked at the aches I was beginning to feel in my knees, wrists, ankles. It seemed like omega-3s, curcumin, nothing was really working. But after just 1 month of Joint Health
Plus from Prevenix, I felt a drastic improvement. Honestly, this is something I rarely experience with supplements, but Prevenix uses quality ingredients backed by sound science. Their products are pharmaceutical grade with extensive testing for safety, quality, and purity. They offer other supplements, including probiotics, omega, immune health, and a multivitamin, which I also use daily. And the science behind their multi has changed my opinion on multivitamins altogether. I used to never recommend them or take them myself, and now I recommend and take Prevnix Multivitamin Mineral and Antioxidant Plus daily. I am so impressed with Prevnix, and I can't wait for you to try. You can get 15% off your first order using the code RISEUP at checkout. The company also offers 100% money-back guarantee within 30 days because they stand by their products, and so do I. Head to Prevnix.com, Prevnix.com, and use the code RISEUP, one word, at checkout for 15% off. For nutritional shakes and bars to fuel your body, head to Orgain.com and use the code RISEUP30 for 30% off your first order. Orgain's ready-to-drink nutritional shakes are my go-to to throw in my bag when I'm heading to the gym or to a trail to run, so that when I'm done, I've got a recovery option to refuel and rehydrate with right away. Orgain makes nutrition and sports nutrition that works. For repeat customers, check the show notes for more. And again, first-time customers, head to Orgain.com and use the code RISEUP30, all caps. And last, ladies, moms, every mom is an athlete. That's why Jen and Carrie have designed the best nursing and pumping sports bras. I cannot rave about these enough. I hate that most maternity bras have clips and don't support being active, but Jen and Carrie get that because they're moms and athletes themselves. They want you to be a mom and an athlete. So their stylish and athletic high-impact bras allow you to crush your workout and then feed your baby with comfort and style. They have saved me during this time of my life, keeping up with sport and momming. Please go check them out at jenandcarrie.com and use the code RISEUP10 for $10 off your order. You won't regret it. Again, jenandcarrie.com, RISEUP, all caps, RISEUP10 for $10 off. Let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, I just absolutely love it because, first of all, with ice cream being my favorite food and thinking that I'm an ice cream foodie, I learned so much that I did not know. So it was very, it was like a little history, you know, documentary episode. It was just so fun to listen to. And I just think that when you, a little background here. Let me backtrack. As a sports dietitian for my clients, I'm always saying food is fuel. Mm-hmm. Like it's your fuel for your sport, to perform your best, to energize your muscles, energize your body. And that's awesome. I love that. I think as a dietitian and clinically trained, like to say that food is medicine. You know, it has all these healing properties, can keep you healthy. Again, wellness. But it's so much more than that. Food is history, food is culture, food is memories, food is part of our upbringing and our family. And that is what this podcast really shows. And I do believe that when you can embrace the fact that food is culture and history and family, when you can embrace those things, it actually helps you utilize food as fuel and medicine more easily.
I think you said it way better than I have ever said it. I'm like, wow, Lindsay, you're good. But yes, it connects people. It's a connection. But I can totally see. I love that how you described all that.
Oh, thank you.
I hadn't thought about it from a clinical perspective as well. But you're right. I think of food as medicine. It's just how we live.
And yet, when people go to the doctor and the doctor tells them, oh, eat this or whatever, like we find resentment towards that, right? Mm. Or if we're told, you know, for whatever reason, like, oh, you should stay away from XYZ, then
no,
we found resentment. But and ice cream is a perfect example. So many people have heard, you know, not to eat ice cream. Well, when you understand the history of it, you're going to be more excited to eat it, but in such a better way than just this, like, I'm going against what the doctor's saying. You know, it's going to be in this, like, really, truly enjoying and appreciating it manner. And I think and I just think that, you know, if a doctor's telling you to eat more salad, you don't like salad, Well, when you understand the history of lettuce, I don't know. I haven't heard that episode yet, but
I haven't heard of that one either. I don't think that one's coming anytime soon. Sorry.
or even just the history of olive oil, as we were talking about more olive oil making dressings. It makes you excited. Now I'm excited to try your tahini recipe on some Brussels sprouts and broccoli salad right now.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
So it's like it gets you so much more excited when you embrace
roasted sweet potatoes. Throw in there too.
Yeah, it gets you so much more excited to have a variety in your diet, so that food is fuel, so that food is medicine. When you appreciate the history and the culture behind it, so I loved the first few episodes. I'm so excited for more.
Thank you.
Who's behind it? I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that as far as kind of your excitement for the show. Or
I think you said it really way better than I did. So, but yeah, no, I'm just lucky. I got lucky. I don't know how to say it. If This Food Could Talk is a podcast, and actually the way we internally think about the show, it's history on a plate. So if that term ever comes up, it's because that's what's in my brain as we're producing these episodes.
Yeah.
History on a plate. So what are you eating? What's the story behind it? How did it, different civilizations, how did it end up and travel maybe across the Atlantic or the Pacific or migrate northwards? How did it finally end its way on our plate? And then what do we do with it? How do we not get frightened and weirded out by food that something might be a little bit different from us? So then we get into the kitchen and cook together, which I think is always fun because it connects us once again.
Yeah. One more thing that you just made me think of is, you know, in today's society where we do have kind of like a global food economy, you know, like quinoa is not grown in Texas, but I can eat it. I have it, you know, 2 miles down the road at the local grocery store. I can go get it. So it is like, you know, we live in an age where we do have so much food at our fingertips from all different parts of the world, but we might not be comfortable enough with it yet or know how to cook it, know how to eat it. And then also, like you said, maybe the processing of that might be a little just confusing for people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it can be a little daunting, I would imagine. So yeah, until we get a little bit more comfortable. This is one way to get us more comfortable. So kind of like figuring out what were the ancient uses of the foods and then how to cook with it now. But
love that.
But we are very lucky. Let's be honest. We're living in a time where food is at our fingertips. You know, we are a very blessed nation. Let's be very honest.
Yes.
We have access that a lot of people don't always have access. And I know that we have a lot of problems in this country when it comes up to food distribution and access for, you know, even within the country. So, finding ways to reduce less, and hence why I was talking about that upcycling kind of as a joke, but reducing less, being more mindful as we're consuming, I think is very important too.
Absolutely. So one other topic to hit on before we sadly end this amazing conversation is your company. You are a woman of many talents and business entrepreneurial type of endeavors, and you founded Athena's Bump, which is a maternal nutrition company focusing on customized nutrition for the 4 stages of pregnancy from preconception to postpartum. Just curious, you have children yourself. Did your interest in maybe starting this start during that time in your life or well before, well after? What prompted you to want to start Athena's Bump?
Well, first of all, congratulations on having your baby pretty recently. Yes, it absolutely stemmed from there. So I joke that I had a child in my 20s, my 30s, and my 40s, which is kind of true. we just kept going.
Wow.
And not much had changed in terms of maternal nutrition. What I heard from the doctor, you know, was don't gain a lot of weight, come back, you know, let's just weigh you every month. And if there's a problem, we'll just, you know, deal with it if you get gestational diabetes. I never developed gestational diabetes for any of my pregnancies, but it turned into that third pregnancy where Vivian is 12 years younger than her older sister, her oldest sister. And so not much had changed, except back in the day, there would be a book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Exactly.
And then, but nowadays what they have are, you know, people online and you've Instagrammers, and I didn't know who to trust, right? And you're still curious. I relied on my knowledge of the Mediterranean diet because I felt that this is, you know, it's been working for thousands of years. I'm not going down a little rabbit hole of, do I do extra protein? So I started this whole, hey, maybe I should do Mediterranean diet for pregnancy. That was kind of my initial, but I didn't want this to be tongue in cheek, have some olive oil and you can get pregnant, because that's obviously not the case. So since I'm faculty at James Madison University, I reached out to the head of dietetics, Dr. Jennifer Walsh. And I said, Jennifer, would you be willing to work with me on doing some, like, pushing the envelope on maternal nutrition health? And she was like, you know, she had her own backstory at the time. She was looking to get pregnant. She was like, I'd love to work with you on this. So that's what was the origination, where we started with this. And it was during COVID. So I wasn't teaching my cooking classes. I wasn't leading culinary tours. I had all this knowledge and I just wanted to make it useful for people. And so we started it with a licensed dietitian. I started Athena's Bump with a licensed dietitian and OBGYN. And we are focused on trying to get as much comprehensive and personalized nutrition to your doorstep that we possibly can. So we spent about a year looking at the research of perinatal nutrition. And we have an online class now that we've developed for perinatal nutrition for birthing professionals, but we're going to open it up also to pregnant people. Mm-hmm. And then we are working with a food company. I can't mention the name just yet till we, we get the details, but get like first trimester, second trimester, third trimester meals right to your door.
Wow. Yeah. And that is so helpful, just because if you're a first time mom, you're doing so much to try and prepare for first time baby, that putting that extra attention into meals is sometimes difficult. And then if you're second, third, fourth time mom, you just don't have time to cook. You just don't have time.
We want to make this affordable. Like, we want to really make this affordable, because you got to eat and the whole family's got to eat, right? You can't just be like, I have a whole like meal for me and that's about it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So you're trying to be very comprehensive to make it affordable and just a well-balanced diet, because I will be very honest, that baby is sucking the life out of all those moms out there. That baby's little parasite, it's going to grow and suck whatever it needs so that their bones are developing, their brain is developing. And that's what we want, right? Mm-hmm. Nice, healthy, fat babies.
Yeah.
But we don't want tired, exhausted moms who then have gestational diabetes or preeclampsia or postpartum depression. All of it is linked to nutrition, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to make sure, that the mom gets fed well so that she can have the energy to devote to her, to bringing a baby into this world.
And I really also love that you focus on all the stages of a woman's life during this time, to include the postpartum, because in my two experiences so far, the postpartum period is the hardest.
Absolutely.
And it's like, there are a lot of like resources for during pregnancy, help for a pregnant mom. And then it's like, you have the baby and then it's all about the baby, and the mom kind of gets forgotten about a little bit. And this is one of the hardest times on the mother's body, physically and mentally. And something like having just help with meals is just huge. Life-changing.
We're actually putting together a postpartum training program for birthing professionals so that they can pay more attention to that for their moms who just delivered. Yeah. A lot of doulas, midwives, nurse practitioners are part of this program. Yeah. So that's where we're focused on. Did you know, and I had no idea about this, doctors don't really give you medical when you go in for your monthly, like, ask me, did you get any nutrition information from your doctor? The answer is probably no.
Yeah, no.
Because they don't get any nutrition training in med school.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
No.
It's insane.
I don't think that there's any requirement. Some schools do have some, but it's like throughout their entire doctor training, it's like 1 to 2 hours. And that's where it's such a, like you said, it's like, it's crazy that doctors don't know more about diet to even bring that up. But then at the same time, then you have your doctors that are always talking about diet, and it's like, wait, you don't even know.
Exactly.
You're not even trained in this.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is crazy. And that's why, and I love, like you said, at Athena's Bump, it's you, it's an OBGYN, it's a dietitian. You've got a team of people to try and figure out what is best and to really make that really useful.
And as I said, we leaned in on the research with our research team from the university, from PhDs. Yeah. So that's important for us.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, Claudia, this has been just such a fun conversation from, you know, just who you are, Mediterranean diet, into your podcast, and then Athena's Bump as well. You're just doing so much to help people eat well and enjoy food. And thank you for all of your work. I just love everything about it.
Totally my pleasure. And thank you, really thank you, Lindsay, for all that you've done, for bringing me on and chatting with me, and for being so switched on. I have to say, you are so switched on. You like totally got what I was trying to say, and saying it so much more eloquently, both about the Mediterranean lifestyle and then about the history of food and how it's, its connection today. I'm like, this girl's a smarty.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm switched on in this area of my life. Like I said, 4 months postpartum, there's a few other areas in my life I'm not totally switched on with.
It'll all work out. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Well, Claudia, I do have one final thing to ask you on this podcast. I have a few questions that I ask all my guests. So I'd love for you to play along, okay?
Bring it.
If there is one food that you could eat every single day for the rest of your life, but never get sick of it, what would it be?
Ooh. It'd have to be olive oil.
Yeah. Makes sense. Since this is the Female Athlete Nutrition Podcast, what is your favorite sport to participate in?
Oh, I love to play tennis.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm a tennis player.
How about as a spectator to watch? What's your favorite sport to watch?
Football. I'm sorry. I wish I had something more exciting to say, but it's football.
You are still American.
Thank you. I am. My son plays lacrosse, but he's the goalie, and I hate watching it because I'm like, get the ball away from my son's head. So,
oh my gosh, I know.
Goalie mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Goalie mom is difficult. Yep.
Totally.
And final question, is there a female athlete out there, either well known to the public or just in your personal life, that you find truly inspiring? Who is she and why?
Lindsay, that's a tough one. I'm so embarrassed right now. I wasn't. I'd love to say, oh my goodness, Coco, the tennis player, the young one who just won the, not the US Open, Coco, I'm blanking on her name right now. She is 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she just won, I believe it was the US tennis, or is it the Wimbledon? She's incredible. She's got so much of her career ahead of her. I don't know much more about her besides the fact that she has just kicked butt and came up out of nowhere, supposedly. And I'm just proud of her and how serious she took the sport at such a young age. And she's obviously naturally talented, but
I love that. Well, I'll have to start paying attention to her. And yes, sometimes, you know, even if we're not like whenever people ask me like who my favorite like singer is or celebrity, I'm like, I'm not really into that. I don't really know. Yeah. But there are people that catch your eye. So Coco has caught your eye.
Yes, she has.
Yes. Amazing. Oh, thank you.
And well-spoken for being so young.
Yeah.
Like well-spoken young lady. Yeah. So
amazing.
Well on Coco. Yeah.
Oh, thank you again, Claudia. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Lindsay, for having me.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others. Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie. Please go check them out and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise. Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now.
You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide, or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new Coaches Toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.